Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome to another edition of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Man, we are close. We are ever so close to the 2025-2026 English Premier League season. We're itching over here. We've been talking about it. It's that time of year where it's so close that you can taste it, but far enough away where there's not too much going on outside of transfers. So on this episode of First Touch, we're going to talk about transfers because there's a lot going on, mainly surrounding Isak and Newcastle. The situation with them in Liverpool is very tense currently. We're going to get into that. Darwin potentially out of Liverpool, Garnacho, Chelsea talks underway. So there's a lot going on in the transfer market, but more importantly, we are now, I believe it's two Fridays away from English Premier League football. So next week we will actually be able to discuss games that are upcoming, the start of the season, everything. Nico, my man, how are we doing?
We're doing amazing, and you're right. We're so close. I was actually calculating the minutes thanks to ChatGPT. We're looking at 20,000 minutes away from the start of the Premier League season, which everybody's expecting to see. I'm still waiting to see, man. Like, what are going to be the last-minute moves?
Those I know. There's a lot going on.
Oh, man.
A lot of these clubs are very strategic with it. They'll wait to the last minute when clubs have to sell, get a couple pounds off, and make some deals happen. But I mean, the market is as active as I think I've ever seen it. I don't know if I can remember a transfer market where as many players came into the Premier League, moved teams in the Premier League. Not many players of significance outside of the Kevin De Bruyne, but with his age, it made more sense. But everyone's coming to the Premier League, it feels like. I mean, it seems to be, as we know, it's, at least in my opinion, the top league that's out there. But the talent wave that has now entered the league, every big team is bringing in big name players, game changing players, to where, you look at what Arsenal did this season, and if on a regular average transfer market, you'd say they won the transfer market and their favorites to win the league. But now we have Liverpool. So I mean, we're going to dive into all this. There's so much going on, so much to talk about, so much to cover here on First Touch, and I'm fired up, man. Another episode on a beautiful Friday. We're going to get right to it coming up next, so do not move. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. First Touch rolls on. Transfer talk up next.
Let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. Start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org. And help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome back to First Touch here with your hosts, Ty Levine and Nico Beef Sauce in the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnight America. Let's get right into it, Nico. Transfer talk. I mean, the most recent news that has dropped, Al-Hilal has opened talks with Liverpool for Darwin Nunez. I think we all saw that coming. I think that that's been, you know, kind of a question mark. I mean, when they initially signed him, it was for a pretty large fee, and I think it's safe to say he didn't live up to expectations, not because of anything effort-related. I mean, he tries as hard as anybody. But just some of the misses, it's inexcusable.
Stage is too big.
Yeah, it just didn't pan out, and he couldn't be the main guy that they needed, and it makes sense that he's leaving. Now, the Saudi Pro League, obviously, Al-Hilal, we saw them in the Club World Cup. They did make some noise. Mitrovic is their main guy up top and has had great seasons since he's been there. I think that it would be a good spot for Darwin. I think that he'll probably, you know, it's a little disappointing, in my opinion, at least, to, for anybody to go to the Saudi Pro League kind of in the midst of their quote unquote prime years. But, yeah. I mean, they brought in Etiquite and they are actively pursuing Isak, which we'll get into. Do you think this is a good move for both, you know, for everyone involved? I think it's, for me, it is.
I will say for Liverpool's activity for the top end that they've had so far, obviously adding Florian Wirtz and Etiquite, which are two amazing players. The departures are also significant because Darwin Nunez might have not been what everybody expected him to be in terms of goal-scoring opportunities, but as you said, he was a main part of their squad. He was playing consistently. And they still had high hopes for him. Now, if a bid comes in that is big enough for them to sell him, I think it's a no-brainer. And I think also losing Luis Diaz explains to me why Liverpool keeps being so active in terms of wanting to sign more players.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I mean, if they can't sign Isak, does letting Darwin go make sense to you? Regardless of whether he's been the main man or not, or had the skill level and the requirements to be the main man or even a backup at Liverpool, without signing Isak, is it? I mean, you're going to just roll the dice with Wirtz and Etiquite, and you know, kind of where do you go with that? For me, I think it doesn't make sense unless they can get Isak.
I think that ultimately, Tyler, at the level that Liverpool is competing at and with the goals that they're setting, they cannot have anybody that plays up front that does not have goals in their repertoire. And I feel like the fact that Darwin Nunez is so wasteful when it comes to chances makes them feel like, hey, if I sell this guy, I can get somebody else in and they can click a little bit better and still bring what we're needing, which is like Liverpool wants to score 3 goals a game this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I don't see why they wouldn't be able to. You mentioned it. Luis Diaz to Bayern Munich. Here we go. Fabrizio Romano has confirmed.
I think it's a great addition for Bayern. I think that it's a big loss, regardless of what they've brought in. It's a big loss for Liverpool. I mean, he is an absolute firecracker on the wing. He can go. He can score goals. He can assist. He works hard. He's spicy. Gets people riled up. So as much as they have brought in, and while I don't necessarily think that it's going to prevent them from winning anything, I still think that ultimately, overall, they're a stronger side than what we saw last season, and they won the league last season. But it is a big departure.
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know, the main reason why Luis Diaz was sold this summer was because he came in from Porto as a very big player, but not at the caliber that he is today. Liverpool was paying Luis Diaz $63,000 a week. And if that sounds like a lot to you, think about Raheem Sterling currently is getting paid $300,000. So Luis Diaz wanted a payday. Liverpool was not willing to essentially renew his contract and give him new wages. And he ultimately goes to Bayern Munich getting $250,000 a week. Bayern Munich sold Leroy Sané this summer, so they did have to make a big move when it came to their wingers, and I feel like he's perfect for them.
I mean, Luis Diaz, Harry Kane, and Olise, top three is a pretty solid. It's a pretty solid go. I mean, they have to, especially with what you look at with Leverkusen, what they lost, and Dortmund obviously kind of being back in that rebuild stage. Bayern are going to be favorites to win the league again. I think that they're going to have something to say Champions League play as well. Now, whether or not that they can overcome what we're seeing happen in the Premier League or not is a completely different question, but. I agree, and I think that obviously it's not that they didn't want to give him the money that he deserved. I don't think that they financially are able to. I mean, at some point, you're signing guys for hundreds of million or breaking transfer records every other week, and those guys are obviously getting paid. I mean, Wirtz is obviously going to be on a huge salary. Etiquette is going to be on a big salary for Mpong. You got to think that McAllister is going to get a new contract some point soon. He's their engine in the middle. It's a tough situation, but again, you look at everything that they've done this summer, and I mean, we can just get into it now.
What I was going to say about the business move behind Luis Diaz, Liverpool got him for $47 million from Porto, and they sold him for $82 million. And they squeezed out a couple of really good years of football from them. So it's a great move.
I mean, it is. In today's game with the financial fair play rules, I mean, that's a huge profit booked on their back end, and they're going to need those things. If you want to spend like they're spending, you have to be selling for a profit. And it's a big reason why clubs like Manchester United haven't been able to buy, because they've been spending like everyone else. Everyone spends. You look at the Premier League top five and how much is being spent. It's absolutely crazy. Absurd. Even I'm going to, counting Man U in the top five for historical purposes. Obviously, right now they're probably not. But the reason they're so down bad is because they've been spending and losing. You know, bringing in a guy like Sancho for $80 million, and now he is happy to sit at home and collect his paycheck and not even train. It's insane. Thankfully, we got Rashford off the books. That was another huge weekly salary with a guy that wasn't with the first team for the majority of last season. So it's great business. They've been doing good business, and they're not done yet. I mean, they're aggressively pursuing Isak. It was reported that they made a transfer record bid for the Premier League, and Newcastle swiftly turned it down, weren't happy with it pretty much. And the vibe that's being reported is the way that Newcastle responded to the bid is putting Liverpool in position to where they're not going to bid again. As in, Newcastle pretty much said, hey, no to this. This is our number. And Liverpool's looking at it and saying, like, that's not doable right now. And you look at the situation that Isak's in with his contract, they can just wait a year. There's talks of what Newcastle want is for him to sign a new deal with a release clause that ultimately will guarantee, hey, you're here next season, but in January or next summer, anybody can come and pick you up. This is the price that we want. This is what we're willing to sell. Now, that sounds great from the club perspective, but ultimately at the end of the day, if the player pushes for the sale, what we generally see is that the move happens. So what are your thoughts on the situation with Isak? Where do you think we end ultimately at the start of the season?
I think that if you want to talk specifically about Newcastle's demands for Isak, the reports are that it's $160 million. I think that's absolutely insane. He's an amazing center forward, and considering that there is not many of his caliber available at the moment, obviously raises the price, but I don't think that Liverpool is going to ever offer them $160 million. And I also think that Newcastle's biggest worry is that no matter how much money they sell him for, there are no other players that they can go for right now that would replace him adequately. And if you want to talk about Ollie Watkins, I would say that Ollie Watkins is a great player. Is he Isak caliber of player? No. And Champions League football is coming, which everybody knows. You want to play games. You want to get paid, and you want to live something amazing with your team, especially if you haven't been there in I don't even know how long.
If you look at it from the perspective of, is Ollie Watkins a good player? It's a lateral move at best for me. It does not in any way. I don't think there's anybody that can argue that it makes them clearly better. I think that there is an argument that it doesn't make them worse. It keeps them where they're at, which is in this type of situation, in my opinion, is a win. If you lose your best player but don't get worse from the next guy that you bring in, that's a win. But at the end of the day, I agree, $160 million. I mean, think about what guys like R9 would have went for in today's market. Like, it's crazy when you look at
sometimes, though, you price yourself out, too. I feel like that's what Newcastle's doing. They're saying, oh, you want him? Give us $160 million. We know you're not going to go for it, and Isak is going to play there for another season.
Yeah, it's a tough situation as well because he's not training. He's waiting for this move. He wants this move, and now, you factor in dressing room stuff. You got to think that other players on Newcastle won't be happy. They'll feel some level of disrespect. But, I mean, we'll see. That, for me, is the – if it happens, the move of the summer, I mean, reading the reports, you have to think that it is at this point more unlikely than likely to happen right now.
I agree.
I mean, it seems like that's where he wants to go. That's his dream move. And at some point, it's just inevitable. So why not play ball now? I mean, anything can happen. If you're Newcastle and you extend him on a huge contract with a massive release clause and he has a bad season or gets injured, now you've dug yourself in a hole to where you could potentially not cash out. And for a club like Newcastle, I mean, they have a ton of money now, but that's going to be a big loss. And we'll get into the Sesko reports because Newcastle were in on Sesko with Manchester United. And we'll discuss how that's looking for both clubs coming up next year on First Touch. I mean, we are just getting started. There's still so much here to go through in the transfer market, and we still obviously have the season preview coming up on this episode of First Touch as well. So do not move. We are coming right back. First Touch rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Ty Levine, and Nico Beef Sauce. Coming right back.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beefsauce. Let's keep transfer talk rolling. We were just talking about Newcastle letting Isak go, who could replace him. The reports that started emerging probably in the middle of this week were Benjamin Sesko, Newcastle were interested, open talks, reached out to Leipzig. And then obviously the reports started surfacing as well that Manchester United were in play for Sesko as well. It's now being reported that Sesko is more likely to land at United. I think that, you know, you look at some of the players that moved to United and the clubs that they were linked to who were playing in the Champions League and, you know, the fact that they decided to come to United, it's been very clear. The United board has made it clear. If you don't explicitly want to be here, we don't want you. So I think that ultimately it's going to come down to the conversations with Sesko's agent. If he wants United, and apparently he followed them on Instagram, which in today's day and age for some reason makes news, if he wants to be here, I think that it has to be. You look at Hoyland, and although he had an amazing game in the preseason friendly against Bournemouth, you have to think that that's an upgrade. And as much as I know you don't rate Sesko, I wanted to hear your thoughts on Sesko versus Hoyland. Who would you rather moving forward, at least for the next season?
I know that Hoyland had a terrible season last season, but I think that cutting a guy off that early, that young in age, so early on, after the team has had pretty horrible seasons all around, is unfair. I also wanted to ask you, if Sesko comes in, does United, I mean, what is the hierarchy when it comes to center forwards? Because you have Xerxes, you have Hoyland, you have Sesko. Is Hoyland going to drop to like third?
Apparently what I was just reading up on was that Leipzig might be interested in the swap, which for me is a win. Like, because you, like,
it is a win.
That is a win. If we pay 60 million cash and get him, there's still a lot of risk with that. We've kind of been there before. I think we spent 72 on Hoyland. If we could get a swap deal in and essentially cancel out what would have been a massive loss, because if you have to think, if we just sold Hoyland to a team that wasn't Leipzig, we'd probably be getting $35 million. So you're losing half on that transfer fee. If we could avoid booking the loss on the books and do a swap, I think it's a massive win. The other side of this is United were also rumored to be interested in Ollie Watkins. However, it's looking like that's probably going to be a difficult thing to make happen because he is so important to Villa and what they value him at, being that he is English, that he is Premier League proven. And the fact that there's not much out there to replace him, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Ollie Watkins will spend this season at Aston Villa, maybe a January move. But again, it's tough. I mean, if they kept Duran, maybe it's. I think it's a lot more likely to happen. I just can't see it happening with Villa. I mean, do you see a world where Ollie Watkins leaves Aston Villa right now?
I think that for Ollie Watkins to leave Aston Villa, there would have to be a domino effect. And what I mean by that is like, Ollie Watkins doesn't move unless Isak moves or something happens. Because, like, as you said, if nobody's available to replace your player, no matter how much money you get in, center forward is a very critical position. You need a center forward that scores goals and is consistent with it, wins you games, presses up high. It's complex. So right now, looking at the market, even if you're Villa and someone says, hey, here's $70 million for Ollie Watkins, what does that make you? Who does that get you? Sesko is not an upgrade from Ollie Watkins. I think Sesko misses a lot of chances, and that's why I don't like him as a center forward. I think he's too wasteful. And again, don't take this away. Xerxes was able to kind of come back in the same season where he had a horrible start, and then he came back, played amazing football, contributed a lot to Manchester United's game. No trophies, but. You know, have Amorim turn some of these players around because he already got out Garnacho. Anthony's not coming back. Rashford's gone. You know, his job is kind of to, you know, win some of those players back and make something out of it because it cannot be just like, oh, sell, and bring me new guys in.
I personally love Xerxes. I thought that he, at moments after the Newcastle game where he walked down the tunnel, I mean, he was fantastic. He is very good on the ball, in my opinion. To be honest, in regards to the hierarchy up top, I think that Xerxes might be more prone to play in those two spots right behind the center forward. I think that that's honestly a better spot for him because I don't think that he's as clinical of a finisher as even. I mean, I think he's more clinical than Højlund. You have to say that. I don't really know Sesko too well, so I'm not going to even really include him. But what Xerxes is very good at is the link-up play, the hold-up play. He can make a pass. He can beat somebody with you know on the ball. He's confident in that regard. And I think that also kind of coming forward off of a big guy like Sesko and getting in behind on an overlap or a layoff, he can score with his head. He can score with both feet. So I actually – and he looks great. I don't know if you guys have seen the – I'm not going to lie. A lot of the squad is looking very, very strong. And not strong in regards to play. Like they look like the players look in shape. Xerxes is looking really, really strong right now in terms of like his.
Oh, it's a great sign.
Yeah, which is a very good sign. And I think that just the response that we're hearing from the players at United in regards to Amorim and in regards to this preseason is nothing but positive. Like the guys seem confident. And just watching, I know it's a preseason friendly, but watching the game against Bournemouth, they beat them 4-1. Their only goal that they gave up was an own goal in the 88th minute. Højlund scored a cheeky little header in the 8th minute. He had some great link-up play. Ahmad scored a great goal. I mean, they looked good. The passing looked clean. It looked, you know, it's smooth. It was it felt like a different product than at any point we saw last season. And I mean, I it's a classic saying, but people always say you got to give the manager a couple transfer windows and a couple actual preseasons. It's very tough to come into a squad in the middle of the season that isn't doing well and just to turn it around and make them play better. It takes time to get acclimated to a system. The other player who I think is going to have a very big season is Patrick Dorgu. He's looked very, very strong this preseason. He is quick. He can run up and down the field. He has an engine like no other. He scored a goal in the preseason friendly as well. It was a good little finish off of a big run.
Do you think that Amorim tries to go to his favorite system this year and starts off with that, or do you think he plays it safe and goes back to like you know like a 4-4-3 or you know
I think the standard will always be the way that he wants to play, but I think situationally that things might adjust when you know depending on the situation, on the given game, in the given moment, where we might see like a shift of formation from a defensive or attacking perspective, where when we have the ball, we might see something a little different than when we don't, and it might be game by game. I think at the core, though, he's going to set up the way that he wants to set up, the way that he has set up his whole career. I think that that's the intention of the transfers that we're bringing in. You look at Acuna and Mbeumo, and you look at the positions that they're going to be playing in, and it just feels right. It feels like it fits. And you know, obviously those guys had really big seasons last year. We've yet to see Mbeumo on the pitch in a United shirt. But you have to expect it's got to be – I mean, I don't see a way where United could get worse than last season with the transfer business that they've done. Now, again, it's being spoken about that they're going for a striker. They're going to try and snag a midfielder and a goalkeeper as well. If the goalkeeper thing happens, I think that – you know, look, I think that top six – anything other than that's a massive disappointment. I would argue that with the changes that have been made, top four is a possibility if we can get Onana out, a striker in, and maybe another midfielder to put next to Ugarte.
In terms of, you know, without thinking about this too much, in terms of goals and assists for Cunha and Mbeumo, which came in to be a very strong addition to the team, like these players are expected to start every game. And considering that Manchester United is only playing the Premier League next season, what are your expectations for them?
I think both will be double-digit goals, double-digit assists.
By the end of the season?
Yeah.
I don't see how they're not. I mean, there's not much outside of the FA Cup and the League Cup, which I think that we're going to see a lot of our younger players play in, if not just the full team. If we're talking all comps, definitely double digits in both. Maybe one of the, you know, maybe the assists or goals for one or the other just in the league goes below double digits. But I don't know, man. I mean, you watched them last season, and like, you knew if you were playing Wolves that Cunha was going to be a problem. You knew if you were playing Brentford that Mbeumo was going to be a problem, that they were going to create, that they were going to potentially score. I mean, they were guys that were on every fantasy Premier League team, and were, you know, league winners in their in that respective as well. So,
in my opinion on that is that, like, obviously they're very talented, but again, to me, what's most interesting about this season is not the moves that United is making on the transfer window as much as seeing what Amorim can get out of what he's going to end up having when the transfer window is closed. Because, Tyler, let's face it, man, like, the coach sometimes makes the team. And Amorim, he came in with a really hefty fee, and I feel like the pressure is on him to prove that his potential is Premier League high, because the pressure is starting from game one for United. There's no time for warm-ups.
No, and I think that the positives are that he has eradicated the waste and the people that don't want to be there. Like, the reports are that Garnacho's wanted to be out of United since January, and he wanted to go to Chelsea in January. Good. Leave. Go. Collect the fee, and although that I do think that he has a lot more to his game than what we've seen thus far, and I really do think that he could be a huge talent, we can't have people there that don't want to be there that aren't performing. And let's continue on with the Garnacho talk, because obviously he's being linked to Chelsea, and we're coming up against a break here. So up next on the other side of this break, we're going to do some Garnacho talk. We'll wrap it up on with the transfer stuff, and then we'll get into the season preview for the Premier League, which is up and coming, 2 weeks away, baby. So, First Touch rolls on. Do not move, with your host, Tyler Levine and Nico Bisos. We're coming right back.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based healthcare to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. They're doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American.
Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here with your hosts, Salamine and Nico Beef Sauce. Let's jump right back into where we left off. Nico, Garnacho to Chelsea. Fabrizio has posted it, meaning it is official. There is some sort of interest or talks going on. Now, I'm very curious to see what the fee would be. Hopefully we can get some tax on it, being that it is moving to a league rival. I actually, you know, I liked Garnacho a lot, and I do still think that there's a lot of potential there. Now, in regards to the antics, you know, after the Europa League final, you know, coming out and just publicly saying in the post-game interview that, you know, you should have played more, you played this, did that, blah, blah, blah. But then also the fact that, you know, apparently he wanted to be gone where he moved to Chelsea. It's always a big fear when a player from your team stays in the league but goes that he's going to reach his full potential and it makes you look terrible. But there's also the side of things where they could continue to flop when it makes it look like a good move. What are your thoughts on Garnacho, on the move to Chelsea, et cetera, et cetera?
I think what you said earlier, we're definitely on the same page. I don't think that any player should stay in the team if they don't really want to be there and be successful with the team. I think Garnacho is young. I think he wants to test his talents elsewhere. I don't think he likes Amorim, and I also think Amorim doesn't like him. And if there is no trust and connection between the coach and the player, it's most likely going to end up being a bad result. So, as you said earlier, let those guys go. Try to get the most you can in terms of money. I don't really pay attention to the fact that he's going to Chelsea, because United's biggest advantage next season, Tyler, is the fact that they're not playing any European games. And yeah, that gives you time to prepare one game a week to give it your all and get a win. And yep, United last season struggled a lot because they made it all the way to the Europa League final, which gave them competitive games in between the week.
Yeah.
Now they don't have that issue. Now you have to perform.
The other side of it, and I think that this is a big part of any transfer that happens with a player that you might like or believe in their potential, is when push comes to shove, potential doesn't matter. What matters is results. And when you look at just the raw numbers, outside of what Garnacho is best at, which is just simply taking people on and, you know, dribbling past people, which he is great at, he doesn't have a ton of assists and he doesn't have a ton of goals. And when you play in a left wing position or below a center forward in that little, you know, that little slot, if you're not scoring and assisting, there is no place for you in the team. And I think that's a big part of it. I mean, like, what else?
It's true.
Look at the numbers. Cunha and Bueno versus Garnacho. How are you supposed, or throw Bruno in there as well. Even, I mean, Kobbie Mainoo was hurt a lot of last year, but I think that he fits that position better as well. So just from like a raw positional standpoint, Garnacho for me is a left wing. That is the only thing that he is. It is the only position that he can play. It is the only position that he likes to play. And I think that that's the best spot for him to be. And that's not the system at United anymore. Now, whether or not he can succeed at Chelsea is a whole different story. It's very similarly to what I was saying with Watkins to Newcastle. It feels like just a lateral move. I don't know how much better he makes Chelsea. I also don't think that he necessarily makes them worse. But unless they can fix their situation up top as well, he's going to be trying to cross an assist to Nicholas Jackson or Nkunku.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is like, it's like crossing to Hoyland. And that was a big issue that we had last year, is that there was a lack of service. And the people providing that service, half of it was Garnacho.
Yeah, goal-scoring-wise, Chelsea is going to struggle next season because they're signing a bunch of guys, and I understand that they need to have depth because of Champions League football. But in terms of like how that team is going to come together, I don't see a goal scorer in there, and that should worry everybody. And also, you know, Martinez being the keeper that's kind of everybody's eyeing, whoever gets him is really going to score big, because Onana and the keeper from Chelsea are not cutting it for me.
Yeah, Sanchez is trash. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, who is going to be the guy for Chelsea? Because, you know, you look at Cole Palmer, he had an unbelievable first half of the season, and then from January to the end of the season, I believe he went goalless, and he's not a center forward. And I don't care what anybody says, your top scorer should not be anyone other than your number nine, or maybe a center attacking midfielder. And, you know, I think that we're going to see, like we saw at the Club World Cup, Cole Palmer out wide a lot more this season, especially if they bring in a Xavi Simmons. And you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how Garnacho fits into Chelsea if he does end up making the move.
But also just what Chelsea looks like this year as a whole, because they have Champions League football. They did the unthinkable. I don't think anyone expected them to finish top four. They ended up doing it. But I don't feel as though they've really improved. I mean, is there anything that you can look at and say, like, wow, they really made a big jump in terms of, because all the teams around them are making those moves to get a lot better. Like, I personally think that United have got significantly better than Chelsea have gotten, whether or not, I'm not saying that United are a better team than Chelsea, but look at the squad from last year to the squad that is on paper today. I don't see an argument for, I think Chelsea, out of all the big teams, made the least improvement going into this season, comparatively speaking, to teams like Arsenal, City, Liverpool, and United, who've done a lot of very solid business this season.
They're hurting on two major positions, and they haven't addressed it, and that might be true, that, like, center forward and keeper are two crucial positions for a team that wants to compete at the highest level, and their keeper is not showing any improvement when it comes to, like, how he's playing, and Nicholas Jackson is never going to be a world-class center forward. And, you know, I thought that Osimhen was going to be the move for them, but it seemed like Osimhen was essentially, they thought that he was overpriced, and they just pulled out.
Which is shocking, because look at what they spend on everyone else. I can't. This feels Arsenal-like to me. It feels like what we've been saying with Arsenal up until this transfer window, where it's like, hey, you need a number nine. You can't really win anything without a true number nine. You're going to struggle without a true number nine. And you look at Arsenal; they finished second 3 years in a row. And why, in my opinion, they didn't have a clear-cut number nine to score goals and put the ball in the back of the net. Now you look at this season, I think it's safe to say that they're probably co-favorites with Liverpool. I don't know how you could really decide between one or the other. I personally still think that Liverpool is a better team, all in all. But I mean,
Do you think they're trying to do what Luis Enrique did in PSG, where he played with three guys up top, but nobody really was the clear number nine? Because, I mean, that's the only thing that I can... Yeah, like, you think that Chelsea or Barcelona or all those teams are trying to do something similar
to that? I can't see that, because, like, look at who PSG has up top. They can do that because of what's there. I don't think, like, look at, I don't care, you could name any three Chelsea players, not one of them is a better player than Doué, Kvaratskhelia, or Dembele. There's not a player on Chelsea's roster that is better than them. So for me, it's like, yeah, you could, in theory, sure, that sounds great. There's a reason why everybody doesn't do it, though, because most teams don't have the luxury of having those players and bringing them in at that cost. Whereas Chelsea, I don't know. I mean, they just keep signing random defenders and midfielders that nobody's ever heard of. It worked last year. I don't know. I think that my hot take for the season might be that Maresca is out at some point. Because, like, you know, Boli, if he doesn't deliver, like, he showed that he could do it. Now they're spending more money, et cetera, bringing guys in. If he can't continue taking them further up, I don't know how much longer he's going to last. It's the world that we live in nowadays. Like, if they drop from fourth to sixth or seventh, he's going into the following season, he's on the hot seat.
Being able to weather that storm in the first, like, 10 games of the season, if you fall really behind... you know, there's some nervousness going on. There's a lot of games in the Premier League, but they don't get any easier. So that's the most interesting part of the season for me, when the summer is closing down and you finally see the teams making the big moves, because they realize that there's no more time to wait on. And plus, you know, the deadline's coming up and you want to shape up your roster. And I feel like Chelsea, they have to make a big move still. And I don't know who it's going to be, but
I who's left? I mean, that's kind of, I'm sitting here thinking, like, who is left? I mean, there's not, like,
could I can't go for Ollie Watkins, like, pay a premium to Villa and get Ollie Watkins. Like,
maybe, but I don't think Villa are selling Watkins for what you said before. Who are they going to replace him with? Are they really willing to just kind of throw a full season away, not being able to replace Watkins?
Like, Villa's playing Conference League, right?
I mean, maybe they bring in, like, an Evan Nielsen. They reach out to Bournemouth and try and snag him to replace Watkins. Like, I don't know, man. I think Watkins would be a great addition for Chelsea, but, like, there's no reports on that at all. The only reports in regards to Chelsea are Xavi Simons and Garnacho, and neither of them are a number nine. Like, they're not. And maybe they go with a false
sign. That's shocking.
It's interesting, man. It's very interesting. What do you make of City? I feel like they came out real hot in the beginning of the transfer window. They made a lot of noise in January as well. But I feel like because of the business that everybody else has done more recently, everyone's talking about Arsenal and Liverpool winning the league, forgetting that Pep Guardiola is still in the blue side of Manchester. They still have Haaland. They signed Marmoush. Rodri's coming back. It's a new look for City. Do you think that they're being slept on? Do you think that they really can contend for the league title here? Or do you think that it's another top four season in the books for them?
I honestly think that City is going to play great football this season. And I was looking at the odds because, like, the first match day is coming up. So I'm already looking at the odds of this and
that.
I love City -210 away at Wolves, first game of the season. I think it's a gift.
Yeah, like, 210 Cunha seems free.
-210, you know, like, Cunha is not there anymore. Like, what are the Wolves going to do? Like, I feel like City's going to come guns blazing, especially after that Club World Cup situation where they got essentially embarrassed. I'm expecting them to win that game, and I'm expecting them to have a strong beginning to the season for sure.
Do you think that they can realistically win the Premier League title, though? Or is it it's not their year again?
I think that depends on their stars being magnificent. Because let's face it, Premier League, top level, defenders, attackers, and all that. Haaland has to have a better season than he did last year. Marmoush has to have an amazing season. They're expecting a lot from Rodri, although he missed last season due to an injury. And they're expecting a lot from the whole team as a whole. Their defenders, Gonzalez being a new addition from Porto, they all have to work together because the way Guardiola plays up and down the field, man, he requires symmetry between the lines. And
let me ask you this. Again, City, for me, struggled mainly because of defensive issues last season.
Yeah, they have not
really made much noise bringing in defenders. They brought in a lot of attacking players, which I think is needed. They needed to recycle out some of those older guys. But even if, and I think for me, the player on City that has the most to prove this season is Phil Foden. He went from player of the year to where is he game in, game out. Like, he was not present.
Yeah.
He did not play well at all for the entirety of the season. And the reality is, if he doesn't show up, there's no world where they win the league for me. And I still think that defensively, it's just there's so many question marks. Look at Arsenal's back line. Look at Liverpool's back line. What did they do? They improved. Arsenal's back line has been pretty solid for the last year to 2 years, but Liverpool improved their defensive back line. And I just can't. The other side of this is Arsenal and Liverpool now have attacks that are comparable, if not better, than Manchester City, where that has not been the case for the last couple seasons. And I don't think that City improved enough. I can't see a situation where they come out on top this season, which is the first time I've said that in a really long time.
Again, I think that teams like City with defensive issues, those are fixable, but I think as a whole, Manchester City last year, they were just poor. Like, Haaland did not have an amazing season. Kevin De Bruyne was half injured and not. Rodri was missing from the midfield position, which definitely contributes to defensive
massively.
Imbalance massively. So it's like, let's give them another season to prove if they can make it better, because that's a possibility, my man.
Now let's get to Arsenal. We've kind of talked about Liverpool. We've spoke about City, Chelsea. Arsenal, this is the year. Otherwise, I mean, for you, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If they don't win the league or the Champions League, is Arteta out? Is the FA Cup even enough to salvage his stint here?
I think that Arteta, if he doesn't win the Premier League or the Champions League, he's just going to resign and go somewhere else. I truly believe that. He's not going to get fired because they'll have nobody.
They won't fire him.
They won't fire him, but I think that he's going to leave because, like, I think the pressure is going to start ramping up. I don't know if you saw his reaction to losing that final against Tottenham in that silly friendly cup that there was, but he was not happy on the sidelines, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him. I think that it is make or break for Arsenal this season. I mean, if they finish second again, it's just like, I mean, how much pain can that? That might be worse than what I've had to go through the past couple seasons, getting so close and just not being
teased.
At least my expectations are zero. I mean, my buddy Scott is an Arsenal fan. I just can't even imagine the mental strength that he needs to have to keep it all together.
I mean,
it's definitely tough. And yeah, I mean, losing it's going to be real interesting. I'll tell you that, because I mean, they got their guy. They brought him in, and it's the one thing everyone's been saying: get the striker. They brought in Gyökeres, who had the biggest season. I mean, the other side of this is Gyökeres has played in England before. A lot of people don't realize that, and the reason is because he didn't stand out when he was here.
So there's a lot of question marks still to be answered with him. If he doesn't pan out, boy, oh boy, are Arsenal going to be in a tough situation. Nonetheless, 2 minute drill coming up next here on First Touch. Don't move. We're coming right back.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Time for the 2 minute drill here on First Touch. Listen to on Sports Byline USA, presented by Sportswoman America. I'm your host, Tal Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, let me ask you this. Who's your top four? In no particular order. We're going to get into the specifics, and next week what we're going to do here is go 1 to 20 our Premier League predictions, but let's give a little preview. Who do you have in your top four?
Next year for top four, I have Arsenal, Liverpool, City, and ultimately Chelsea.
That's you have Chelsea right in the top four. I have Liverpool. I also have Arsenal. I also have City. I am going to say something crazy. I'm going to put my Manchester United in the fourth spot. I mean, look, we saw it last year with Chelsea. They had nothing else to play in. No other competitions. Nothing to worry about. Conference League, which is like, okay, yeah, whatever. Who really cares about that, though? I mean, like, I think it's possible. Depends on
how is this prediction with Onana on the bench or with Onana where?
That is with Onana on the bench, with him either sold or not being the main guy. If we do not bring in a goalkeeper, sixth. Yeah, he's worth two spots. That's worth a two spot drop, in my opinion. But I could not be more excited. I think next week what we're going to do here is Golden Boot winner prediction, PFA Player of the Season, Golden Glove Award, 1 through 20 predictions, maybe preview some of the earlier games, and obviously more transfer talk, because Look, a lot's going to happen here. So, nonetheless, we will see you next Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of First Touch. I'm your host, Tyler Mina, along with Nico Beef Sauce. See you guys next Friday at 5 Eastern.
See ya. Day.